Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen.
In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Over the years, beverage companies have come up with some great slogans. You may remember Gatorade calling itself the thirst quencher, and then later, the remedy for that deep down body thirst. For almost 20 years, Sprite has told consumers to obey your thirst. And then they finally decided that freedom from thirst was a more liberating catchphrase. These are great slogans, but every soft drink lover knows that you can't beat the real thing. Coke is it. It's the best friend thirst ever had. The message that these companies are conveying is clear. You have an intense thirst, a thirst that only their product can satisfy. That's the message. But what does anybody who lives in our culture really know about being thirsty? In a physical sense, not much. We live in communities where there's a Big Gulp, a dollar drink, or a Dutch Bros on just about every corner. We live in homes with refrigerators filled with cold milk, our favorite kind of juice, and get this, at the touch of a button, a never-ending supply of clean, ice-cold water. We really don't know a thing about physical thirst, but inside each one of us, there's a thirst that nothing of this world can satisfy. David spoke about that thirst in the psalm that we read this morning, where he wrote, "O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh also longeth after thee in a barren and dry land where no water is." It's been 3,000 years since David was inspired to write those words, but the truth they express hasn't changed. This side of heaven is a barren and dry land. A desert where we wake up every morning thirsting for comfort that this world cannot provide. Man is both troubled and blessed by an insatiable spiritual thirst placed on our hearts by our Creator, to the end that we may continually seek the only one who can fulfill the desires of our thirsty souls. The old saying is true, there is a God-shaped hole in all of us, an infinite abyss that can only be filled with an infinite and immutable object, Almighty God. We were made for Him, and by design, man will never be truly content until he finds God. And if, after the joy of finding Him, our foolish pride or sinful nature leads us to fill our lives with the things of this world, the insatiable spiritual thirst that He has placed on our hearts will lead us back to Him again and again and again. Jesus said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." These words are God's simple and direct invitation to any man who thirsts, to every man who thirsts, to come unto Christ and receive the living water that fulfills the deep spiritual thirst within us. There is nothing of this world that can quench that thirst. But thanks be to God, by His grace in this world, He has provided His word and sacraments so that we may quench our thirst for union and communion with Him. Our Lord's invitation to all who thirst can be seen as a plea to remain close to Him through the church that he established. Because it is here in his house where we receive the sacraments instituted by Christ himself. To neglect regular church attendance is to place ourselves in jeopardy of dying of thirst. We die of spiritual thirst when we allow our thirst for Christ to die. When the things of this world become more important than spending Sunday morning with God. We must thirst for Sunday morning corporate prayer. We must thirst to hear and receive the Word of God. We must thirst for Christ, for his precious body and blood, which he gives to us so freely when we meet at his table for Holy Communion. Jesus offers to every person something only God can provide: rivers of living water that will flow from all who believe in him out into the world that he gave his life to save. St. John defined the living water which Jesus spoke of as the Holy Spirit. And in our lesson this morning, we saw a vivid, beautiful picture of how the Spirit works in our hearts and lives. As we, who thirst for Christ, come unto him and drink, we receive the living water that quenches the spiritual thirst. We receive the Holy Spirit. And through his indwelling power, the life of every believer is completely transformed. We drink of living water, and the Spirit moves in us in such a way that we become the salt and light that makes the world thirst for God. They thirst for him because they see something distinctly different flowing from us. What St. Paul refers to as the fruit of the Spirit. Paul tells us that through the Holy Spirit, the Christian will manifest love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The world sees these qualities flowing from us like living water, and the experience makes the world thirst for God. The world looks at authentic Christians and wonders, where is all this life-changing, life-giving water coming from? And therefore, we become the instrument that God uses to show everybody that what they truly thirst for is found in him. That is exactly why we must ever be mindful of what flows from us. We need to ask ourselves the question every day, what kind of drink am I offering to the thirsty world? Consider this thought. A few weeks ago, we had our church open for Jacksonville's citywide yard sale. On Friday and Saturday, we handed out hundreds of bottles of water. And people thankfully received what we had to offer because it was the real thing. That day, this bottle was the best friend that thirst ever had. And perhaps it can be seen as an image of what every Christian is called to be in this barren and dry land. A clear, cool, clean, refreshing drink of water for a thirsty world. This is what we're called to be. But my friends, just a little bit of the world, the flesh, and the devil can really get in the way of our ability to be that refreshing drink that draws the world to God. In Galatians, where St. Paul wrote about the fruit of the Spirit, he also addressed the worldly, the opposing works of the flesh. St. Paul gave a lot of examples in that passage. And today, I have just a little bit. Oh, I'm shaky. Sorry. Four of them. Consider impurity. Immorality. Jealousy. And anger. When we allow those kind of things to contaminate the living water with which Christ has quenched our spiritual thirst, what flows from us doesn't look very appealing. Nobody wants to drink polluted water. Nobody would have received what we had to offer at the sale if this was it. And nobody will be drawn to God if this is what they see flowing from us. This is why we have to stay close to Christ, to His church, and to the sacraments. That is why we have to thirst for Christ, for the grace, the mercy, and the forgiveness that can only be found in the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Remember, if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So may God give us grace that through the power of the Holy Spirit, rivers of clean, cool, clear, refreshing, living water would flow from this congregation into our community. May God work in us and through us in such a way that our words and deeds would draw the world to Him. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.